Turkey and Israel join hands against Syrian President Bashar al-Assad as Israeli forces open fire on Syrian territory from the occupied Golan Heights. Many are asking, is the reconciliation between Tel Aviv and Ankara about a shared regional agenda that could threaten yet more lives and cause yet more destruction? This is The Debate.
Israel and Turkey have normalized ties after Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu apologized for a deadly attack on a Gaza-bound aid flotilla in May 2010. They say they have finally buried the hatchet for the sake of their goal in Syria, to hasten the fall of President Bashar al-Assad. The two key opponents of the Syrian government have spared no efforts to fan the flames of foreign-backed insurgency that has gripped the Arab nation for more than 2 years. Ankara has been blatantly supporting armed struggle in Syria since the very beginning of the conflict. Its borders have become a safe haven for al-Qaeda-linked groups who are being trained in military centers. Meanwhile, Israel has repeatedly said it's not shy about assisting insurgents in the strategic Golan Heights and giving them medical support. Some reports have even revealed an Israeli plan to form mercenary militia to use in Syria.
What the purpose of the Israelis of such thing? It's a kind of a message to those armed terrorist groups working against the Syrian army, to give them certain refuge and certain encouragement, and to tell them that the Israeli side of the Golan Heights would be a very would bring certain hospitality to those rebels if they would come to get refuge.
But what's the root cause of all this animosity? Syria is one of the key supporters of the resistance groups who broke the might of the Israeli military during conflicts in Lebanon and Palestine in recent years. The West and its regional allies think it's time for Damascus to pay the price for that support.
The new thing now is to make public such coordination against Syria, to make public a kind of declaration of war from Israel and Turkey alongside to against Syria.
Despite the efforts in Geneva to hammer out a peaceful transition of power in Syria, the West, including France and Britain, along with their allies Qatar, Saudi Arabia and Turkey, are pushing for further militarization of the conflict by sending arms to the insurgents. Even Moaz al-Khatib, the chief of the foreign-backed opposition, the Syrian National Coalition, came under pressure and was forced to resign after he said he was open to talks with the Syrian government. It is widely believed that the rapprochement between the two key U.S. allies, Israel and Turkey, is just a prelude to an agenda for the whole region that best serves the interests of Israel, no matter how many Muslim countries get destroyed or people get killed.
With me now live from Damascus is Mr. Ala Ibrahim. He's a journalist and political commentator. And with us live from London, Mr. Sharif Hikmat Nashashibi, chairman of Arab Media Watch. Welcome to The Debate, gentlemen. My first question to our guest in London, Mr. Nashashibi. Both Turkey and Israel are conceding that Syria is the reason why they've chosen to restore ties. Mr. Nashashibi, what do you think are the common interests involved here regarding Syria?
Personally, I haven't seen any reports yet of the two countries stating that that's the reason that they did this rapprochement. I have to say it is not in anyone's interest within Syria or any party involved in the Syrian conflict that Israel gets involved. No one's interest. If Israel got involved in Syria on any side or was perceived to be acting on any side, it would be crippling to that side because of its association with Israel. No one in the country in Syria, whether opposition or regime, and no regional backer of either side wants Israel involved. So I don't see that this would be in anyone's benefit for Israel to be involved. And right. I think Turkey would be well aware of this.
Right. And to just make matters clear there, the Turkish Prime Minister has said that renewed ties with Tel Aviv, and I'm quoting him here, could help hasten the fall of Assad. And Netanyahu, for his part, has said he tried to mend ties with Turkey for fear of Syria's chemical weapons. Now, before we continue with that, let's get our guest in Damascus on The Debate as well. Mr. Ibrahim, do you think that they are now sharing an agenda, and what do you think that could be?
First, I think up to a certain extent, I do agree with your guest from London. I think the general feeling is here remains in a great extent anti-Israel, and the people here in general view Israel, mainly the majority of the Syrians view Israel as an enemy in this strategic fight between Syria and Israel, who is still occupying Syrian territories since 1967. But I think it's very likely that the Israelis and the Turkish would join forces against Syria. Let's bear in mind the bad relations between Turkey and Israel are not the exception. They are the general rule, actually, throughout the relation between the two countries. Turkey was the first Islamic country to recognize, I think one of the first Islamic countries to recognize Israel after it was founded in 1948. Right. And let's bear in mind that they had excellent relations. They had military cooperation all the way till the Marmara Flotilla incident. Afterwards, we had this PR thing between Erdogan and the Israeli officials, especially Peres at the Davos summit. But all in all, the relationship between Turkey and Israel remains a good relationship. And if we think back on 1998, when Turkey was threatening to invade Syria, at that time, many reports spoke about close cooperation between the Turks and the Israeli in terms of intel collecting intelligence.
I'll stop you there, Mr. Ibrahim, if I may. I just want to bring in this next question of some of the analysts that we've been speaking to. I'll put this to Mr. Nashashibi, have been saying that cooperation prior to this did exist between Israel and Turkey, even on Syria, though it wasn't made public. Now this stage is making this public, and some have even described this as a declaration of war by these two sides on Syria.
Well, look, it needs to be made clear, you know, regardless of the war of words between Turkey and Israel over, you know, the recent times, the actual relationship between the two countries, particularly economic relationship, has been business as usual, as well as the military relationship. So the animosity has been mainly verbal. The rest hasn't really changed. But it needs to be pointed out that that Erdogan in Turkey has a lot of domestic support in Turkey because of his support of the Palestinians and his opposition to Israeli policy, and also has garnered a lot of popularity in the Arab world in general over this issue. So right. it wouldn't make sense for Erdogan to be seen, at least, to be, you know, siding to such an extent that right. he would be getting involved directly in Syria with Israel. Mm-hmm. This would be domestically unpopular and regionally unpopular. It wouldn't make sense, and I think he's too shrewd a leader to believe that he would be able to get away with that. It would be unacceptable.
So, Mr. Ibrahim, when Turkey says that we want to hasten Assad's fall through this restoration of ties with Israel, and when Netanyahu says that Israel wants to tackle this threat of chemical weapons, how do you think they intend to do that? Are they going to do this together? What kind of cooperation do you think they are now planning?
First of all, let me point out, again, I agree with your guest in London, Erdogan has enjoyed a newly found popularity because of his anti-Israel policies and the stance he took against Israel. But let's bear in mind also that when the events of Libya took place and the rebellion against Colonel Gaddafi in that country happened, Erdogan stood at first with the Gaddafi regime and then later on changed his position when it was obvious that NATO was about to bomb the country and help the rebels win that war. So I think Erdogan is not very worried about his popularity. I think he puts his party's interest and his political interest before, and this is the case with the positions he took in Syria. I think he risked a large part of his popularity inside the Syrian community because of the stance he took on the Syrian issue. That being said, I think a lot can be done by both sides to according to them, hasten the fall of President Assad's government. First of all, let's bear in mind, in recent events, when Free Syrian Army fighters were wounded inside the Golan area, Israel took some of them in and treated them.
Right.
Of course, this is not a mass-scale thing. It doesn't happen every day, but it indicates that there is some kind of logistics coordination between at least some of the factions of the rebels existing in that area and at least the Israeli field officers in that place. Also, let's bear in mind that we've seen that the rebels in general, in some of their factions, not all of them, to be very fair about this, they view the president and they view the president's government as their main enemy and they put it before Israel. So they will receive aid from Israel if they got the chance. And again, I stress, this is not all the insurgents, this is not all the fighting opposition forces, this is our certain factions.
And so, I'll stop you there to bring in Mr. Nashashibi's views on this as well. Now, Mr. Nashashibi, we have been hearing of the activities that Israeli forces are carrying out in the Golan Heights area. We're hearing they've been assisting the insurgents, they've been giving medical support to the insurgents. So there is activity already taking place. And we, of course, heard of the recent Israeli attack on Syrian territory from the occupied Golan Heights, didn't we?
Look, Israel's threats vis-a-vis Syria, and there have been numerous threats over the last few months, they have always been targeted generally at both sides, at the opposition fighters and the Assad regime. It has not sided with one side or the other. They have made their threats.
This
general,
is inaccurate.
Including this latest
threat. If you would take a look at the facts, Mr. Nashashibi, you would find out this is very inaccurate.
If you're going to interrupt me, I will interrupt you, and we need to let the viewers know that this is inaccurate. Give me some respect and let me finish.
No government soldiers were ever treated.
I will not let you finish any more sentences if you keep interrupting me, please.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Ibrahim, I will allow you to give your response.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mr. Nashashibi. Go ahead.
From now on, let me say one thing before I answer your question. If your other guest interrupts me one more time, I will not let him finish one more sentence on this program because he's not letting me finish mine. So please let him give me some respect and I will afford him the same respect.
Can I now
answer your question?
Okay, the goal here is to give both our guests time to give their responses. So I will ask our guest in Damascus to allow Mr. Nashashibi to make his point and then I'll ask the question from him. Mr. Nashashibi, go ahead.
Yeah. It is absolutely absurd to believe that that any faction in the Syrian opposition, any credible faction, would court Israeli support even against the Assad regime. This would be a domestic suicide in Syria. The Syrian people, whether they are opposed to the regime or support the regime, they are not friends of Israel. It doesn't mean to oppose the Assad regime that they are sympathetic to Israel. No credible faction or personality in the Syrian opposition wants Israeli interference in Syria for whatever side and for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So they would not want Israeli support because it would be a terrible blow to them. And I speak as someone who is opposed to the Assad regime. The last thing I would countenance would be Israeli involvement because no one in Syria trusts the Israeli agenda in Syria. Israel is not after the interests of anyone in Syria. Mm-hmm. So let's not believe that, you know, to be opposed to the Assad regime means that we are in cahoots with Israel. This is absolute nonsense. Let's really get this out of the way. It is a very childish and untrue ploy by apologists for Assad to make out that the Syrian opposition is holding hands with Israel. Far from it. This is not true.
Before we go to our guest in Damascus, I'm just hearing that our comments that have been posted on our Facebook page are now ready. We'll take a listen and we'll come back with the rest of the debate.
Lee Mariachi Boogaloo. They do have common interests and they are both controlled by one master. It's the USA. Mustaqim Musa. Is Turkey so desperate to see the downfall of the Assad government that it will sleep with the enemy to do it? It just shows how low the Erdogan government will go and what hypocrites they are. Tariq Abdul Khalik. Everything Turkey said to Israel was just a show. Turkey always wanted to work with Israel to continue the destruction of Syria. Yakubu Abker. The Israelis must be in desperate need of something very important to them, blood. That's why they hastened to apologize publicly to Turkey over their deliberate attack on the flotilla, a Palestine-bound ship, after a year-long delay. Don't trust Israel and the US. Alep Malula. A regime change that would allow Israel to be the only mistress in the region. There is a huge quantity of crude oil in the Mediterranean Sea, lying between Israel, Syria, Lebanon, and the shores of Turkey, right up to Cyprus. It's been called the Leviathan by Israelis. All this turmoil and war in the countries around the Mediterranean Sea, Libya, Syria, Egypt, soon Tunisia, Algeria and Lebanon, serves this purpose only.
Well, comments posted there by our viewers on our Facebook page. I'll go straight to Damascus, I guess, Mr. Ibrahim. Now, speaking about how far Israel will go, one person we were speaking to earlier was saying that the fact that Israel has launched a strike recently on Syrian territory is sending a message to the insurgents that we are on your side and we're going to give you help. Now, do you agree, however, with our guest in London that none of the insurgents are willing to go inside with Israel because it's not going to benefit them?
Well, I don't agree with your guest in London on that topic. First of all, let's bear in mind it wasn't the Assad apologist who came up with the argument that those who oppose President Assad's regime or President Assad's government are by necessary Israel's friend. It was Moshe Ya'alon, the current Israeli Minister of Defense, who said that if Assad falls, it would be a good thing for Israel and the Middle East would be a better place for Israel to exist. I do agree with him on one point, that not all the opposition and not the majority of the opposition is with Israel, nor will it ever shake hands with Israel. We remain in Syria, a nation that is very proud of our history, and even our opposition knows that Israel remains the enemy. But let's all bear in mind the reports that we have seen on Israeli television. We've seen the infamous report of Channel 2 on Israeli television, where a reporter comes from Israel, crosses in, goes into rebel-controlled areas, and he interviews a local commander who would say that he would hold hands with Sharon, Ariel Sharon, and if he comes to fight President Assad with him. Mm-hmm. And I think he says no credible faction of the opposition. And here I would agree with him. Who are we to categorize the opposition fighting forces or the fighting factions? There are millions of battalions, hundreds of brigades fighting in the name of the rebel forces. Right. And I think some of them are willing to cooperate with Israel. After all, they all are more than happy to receive aid from the Americans. And we all know that the Americans and the Israeli are in the same mm-hmm. bed. And there are more than one case that we've seen Israeli weapons in the hands of rebels in Syria. And again, I remind you of the example when three Syrian army fighters were wounded, they were taken to treatment in Israel. We cannot neglect that there are some factions, that there are some elements, that there are some individuals, to be very fair and to be very diplomatic, actually, inside the Syrian opposition that not only would like to deal with Israel, but they would like to facilitate Israel entrance into the Middle East and into Syria.
Okay, now we did see President Obama go to Israel, and immediately after that visit, Mr. Nashashibi, we saw the reconciliation taking place between Turkey and Israel. A lot of people were saying that Obama has been urging Israel to reconcile with Turkey, to give that unprecedented apology so it can go ahead with the agenda that the US and Israel are following. Even if we disregard the fact, Mr. Nashashibi, of how oppressive or not oppressive the Syrian regime has been, can we deny the fact that there is a regional agenda and that Israel's involvement is not going to benefit Syrians?
I don't believe there is a regional agenda. I think every country in the region that is involved in Syria or wants to get involved in Syria has their own reasons for doing it. I don't think there is a pan-regional vision for Syria. Everyone is in for their own interests. I think the rapprochement between Israel and Turkey, I think the two main benefits for Israel, certainly, are the ones that Israel will not admit to. One is that it means, you know, that Netanyahu can portray this as a major concession on his part, that he apologized to Turkey after a long time of refusing to apologize. And this means that he will now be even less likely, if he ever was likely, to give any concessions on the Palestinian front. And on the larger scale, that this may be seen as giving him more leverage for an attack against mm-hmm. Iran. That now, with a rapprochement with Turkey, he has one less powerful country in the region and one less vocal leader in the region to criticize Israel's actions. Right. So I think Iran is a very potential target of this, and the Palestinians, those two. But they are not things that will be publicly mentioned by Israel. But I think they are the main reasons.
Okay, we know that John Kerry, Mr. Ibrahim, has been in Iraq and has been talking about the Syrian situation in Iraq as well. I guess they're in London saying he doesn't believe that a regional agenda, so to speak, is at work here. What would you say about that and your reasons if you think there is an agenda?
I think your guest is a bit contradicting himself in this statement, because he says they have interests, and he says that they don't have an agenda. I think their interest in Syria is an agenda in its kind. Actually, it was very interesting to read Kerry's statements in Iraq. He asked Iraq to stop the flow of arms into Syria, and I can't imagine how he did that with a straight face. How could the foreign minister of the United States of America ask the Iraqi government to stop the flow of arms into Syria while the Americans are subsidizing plans to send arms to Syria from Turkey, from Lebanon, and from Jordan, and from every other country on the face of earth, from Croatia even. So I think there is a very big regional agenda in this. I think Turkey would not invest so much if they don't have a very strong interest in the outcome of the Syrian conflict. I don't think Jordan would take such a stand that contradicts its immediate interests because of the refugee situation. I think everyone has an interest. I think there's a pan-regional agenda, and it's acting. And unfortunately, Syria is being destroyed. Let's bear in mind one of the early targets for insurgents in Syria when they gained momentum. It was aerial defense bases. Target.
Mr. Ibrahim, I'm really sorry for stopping you.
We
are quickly running out of time, and I'd like both of our guests to give their concluding remarks. Quickly, if you can, Mr. Nasser Shibi, in less than a minute, do you think then that Israel is not going to get involved more extensively militarily in this, and that Turkey is not going to back that intervention?
Well, I think it's possible that Israel will get more involved. I think Israel has been chomping at the bit to get involved. I just don't believe that it will benefit anyone in the conflict. It's difficult to tell. I would find it very inadvisable to do so.
Yeah.
I think your guests should listen more carefully to what I said. I didn't contradict myself. I said there is no pan-regional agenda. There are individual country agendas in Syria. You should listen to me before saying I'm contradicting myself.
Okay, and the concluding remarks, Mr. Ibrahim, in less than a minute, would you say then that Israel is going to intervene militarily more extensively from this stage on, and they're going to be backed and in coordination with Turkey and the other regional allies?
Well, they are preparing the ground, obviously, with the ties they have established with the rebels in the Golan area, with the fact that the rebels have managed to take hostage of the Filipino peacekeepers earlier this month, and with what happened today. I think Israel is laying down the groundwork for an upcoming intervention inside the Syrian territories.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ala Ibrahim, journalist and political commentator in Damascus, and in London, Sharif Hikmat Nasser Shibi, chairman of Arab Media Watch. Thank you for being on The Debate. Thank you for staying with us. From me, Homa Lezgi. Until our next programme, it's goodbye.